WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Michelle Martin in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Well, it's happening 150 years after the end of the Civil War, half a century after it was mounted on the dome of the South Carolina State House, 15 years after it was moved elsewhere on the grounds. The Confederate battle flag is set to depart once and for all from the South Carolina State House. So now what? Has the emotional debate over the flag itself the response to the tragic shooting of 9 African Americans by a young white man with a racial grievance changed something? Something's happened. But what? This hour, On Point, a moment of reckoning in a symbolic moment. You can join us on air or online. Did you cheer? Did you cry? Were they tears of joy or anger? Did you shrug? How do you feel about these recent events? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. And, you know, and throughout this story, from the shooting of the congregants at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, that set off this recent discussion, to this just concluded debate, we've heard from many political leaders, and many of them have been very eloquent. But today we thought we'd switch it up and hear from some of our writers who often help us think about things and talk about things in a different way. Kathleen Parker is a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist. She is syndicated, part of the Washington Post Writers Group. She's a native of Florida, but she has roots through family in South Carolina, and she joins us from Washington, D.C. Kathleen, thanks so much for joining us at On Point.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks so much for having me.
From New York, we're joined by Walter Mosley, writer, novelist, widely recognized for his crime fiction. You probably know him from his acclaimed Easy Rawlins series of mysteries. His latest book, by the way, is called And Sometimes I Wonder About You, a Leonid McGill mystery. A native of Los Angeles, he also has roots in the South through his father from Louisiana. Do I have that right, Walter?
You do indeed, Michelle.
All right. Good to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Also with us, Ron Rash is with us from Clemson, South Carolina, poet, short story writer, novelist, professor at Western Carolina University. His forthcoming book is Above the Waterfall. Ron, great to have you with us as well.
Good to be here, Michelle.
And I'm just going to start by asking each of you what you make of the recent events, the 12, 13-hour debate in the South Carolina State House, at times a very emotional debate to remove the flag, the vote. The flag could come down as early as Friday. And Kathleen, I'm going to go to you first, since you've written a number of columns about this. What are your thoughts right now?
Well, first of all, in breaking news, I just got word that the flag will come down tomorrow at 10 in the morning. Excuse me, that Governor Haley wants to get the families of those killed at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston to be present. So that's the latest. And how I feel about it personally, I'm thrilled. I just feel better today knowing that this has been resolved, even if not unanimously, very close. And at times I've been sort of embarrassed, honestly, to say I'm from South Carolina, because South Carolina is always getting beaten up. If you want to make fun of Southerners, you go straight to South Carolina. But I'm very proud of South Carolina today and would urge everyone not to be sneeringly victorious in this moment, because it's been a long battle to sort of reconcile the two perspectives. And I think we've finally reached a tipping point. And it is, of course, has a lot to do with what happened in Charleston, because the state, everyone is just so sad, and I think they feel like, well, the least we can do is rid ourselves of this symbol.
That's what I was going to ask you. Why did you think the flag should come down?
Well, because it is a symbol of hate, and it is a symbol of racism for people who use it that way. But overall, more generally speaking, it represents an era and a battle that are no longer you know, very few people want to defend the causes. They might want to honor their family members who fought in the war. And I have family members who fought both on the Confederate side and on the Union side. Mm-hmm. So I understand when you have sort of nothing left at the end of the day but this little shred of pride in your ancestors, then I understand that there are those who feel differently about the flag. Whether it should be on state grounds, I think is untenable. You know, it just it doesn't belong there, because the state house belongs to all people. And overall, my own feeling is, look, we're not, this is we have to do things that are good for our family, our human family. We are all one nation, and this flag represents a secessionist, separatist time in our history that is well past, and such relics belong in museums.
Mm-hmm. All right. You mentioned your heritage and having relatives who fought on both sides. So I think one of the pivotal moments in the debate was when South Carolina State Representative Jenny Horn got up to speak on the floor and saying, she had as great a claim as anybody to Southern heritage, but it's time to move on. I just want to play a short clip from that, from her comments, just because it was so, it seems to have been a turning point in this debate, and here it is.
I'm sorry. I have heard enough about heritage. I have a heritage. I am a lifelong South Carolinian. I am a descendant of Jefferson Davis. Okay? But that does not matter. It's not about Jenny Horn. It's about the people of South Carolina who have demanded that this symbol of hate come off of the State House grounds.
Walter, what do you think about this? I understand your views might surprise some people.
Well, I don't really think so. I mean, I think that the Confederate flag shouldn't be hanging from the State House. I just don't. And that I think that the public institutions, political institutions especially, unless that's their flag, shouldn't have it. The problem is, is what it represents. And what it represents is something much deeper. And getting rid of the flag on the State House is not going to get rid of what it represents and what people think about it, how they feel about it. And so, my thought is that, the thing I say, if a guy has the Confederate flag in his heart, I'd like to see it on his front porch, too, because I just know what he'd be thinking. And that might be a slightly different thing. But, I think everybody has a right to express themselves. The state represents all the people, and in that, it shouldn't be hanging there.
Ron Rash, what about you?
I was glad to see it come down, and my perspective is a little bit different because I'm actually looking at I've got a photograph of two of my ancestors, the only two photographs I have from the Civil War era, and they're both wearing Union uniforms because my family was from East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, so Appalachian. And I was just kind of imagining today as a writer what they might be thinking about this. But I think to me, it was an important moment, and there's always that sense that will it really change people's hearts or not? But I what I saw in many ways, I think there was a sense that this has just gone on too long, and it's the sad part is it takes something like this for that to happen, but it nevertheless did, and I think what. The people of South Carolina said, "We will not let this act by this young man, this horrendous act, define us."
I was going to ask you about that. What do you think this means? Because people have been asking, some people have been asking for the flag to be removed from state grounds for years now, and I think it is worth remembering that the flag was mounted on the Capitol in 1962 or 1963, right? Mm-hmm. In response to the civil rights movement. And so in the year 2000, there was a big compromise to move it off the Capitol dome and then to put it on the grounds. So this is not a new debate. So why now? And Ron, maybe you want to keep it going here. What do you think it means that is now? Do you think this is a response to a particularly kind of heart-wrenching set of events, or do you think it's indicative of something else?
Well, I think there's been a move. But I think what happened with this act that maybe has changed a lot of people that would otherwise still not think the way that they think, 3 weeks ago, was that because of these people, where they were killed and what they were doing, I think it was almost impossible for anybody to see them as the other. And I think that, I think that was just a turning point, and I think out of this tragedy, some things have come that I think are positive. I mean, one was that the guy was actually caught 4 miles from where I grew up. And the reason he was caught was a woman from my home county had been praying that morning for the families, and she actually spotted Dylan Roof in a car. And she not only called the police, she followed him 23 miles you know, knowing this guy had already killed a number of people. And I would like to believe that she represents more the people of the Carolinas in the South than anybody like Dylann Roof. And I do believe that much more.
Mm. Walter, what do you think it means? What does it mean? I mean, so who we are to each other is so much a part of your work. I just can't help but, you know, who is the other? You know, who is strange to each other? That's so much a part of your work, you know?
Well, that's such a big, I mean, that's a big question. Before saying that, I just like to say that, you know, I don't want to concentrate, in my heart, I'm not concentrating this argument on the South, you know, because, and there are a lot of people in the North who feel the same way, who, you know, belong to various organizations and stuff, not necessarily identified with that flag, some are. But, I mean, this is a problem for all of America, which is why it's good to be having this dialogue. I don't believe in the existence of white people, and so... For me, the notion that there's a white and a black, I don't believe in the existence of black people either. I mean, you know, we're just people. We all look different. We all come from different cultures. I think that racial identity comes from colonization. And, you know, when the colonizers came and said, well, we need to kill the people there. We need to enslave people to do our work. So we're going to be white people. I think that, you know, it's kind of a made up thing. I like the idea, like I said before, of people having the discussion and getting rid of the flag. But there's a deeper problem, and that deeper problem, you wouldn't want to get lost in it. It's kind of like blaming Bernie Madoff, you know, for our financial problems. Yeah, he was a bad guy, but the problem is much deeper.
This is On Point. I'm Michelle Martin, in for Tom Ashbrook. We are talking about the vote in Charleston, South Carolina, to take down the Confederate battle flag from the State House grounds. The flag could come down as early as tomorrow morning. But obviously, we're talking about so much more than that, and you can join our conversation. What should we be talking about right now, above and beyond the flag? My guests are Kathleen Parker, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist, Walter Mosley, acclaimed crime writer, the creator of Private Investigator E.Z. Rollins, and Ron Rash, poet, short story writer, novelist, and professor at Western Carolina University. We're going to continue our conversation. But before we do, and I know we said we were going to focus our conversation on writers, but I did want to get another perspective from somebody else that I think you all know. I want to turn for just a few minutes to Ben Jones. He's joining us from Rappahannock County, Virginia. He is the spokesperson for the Sons of Confederate Veterans. He served two terms as a Democratic congressman from Georgia, but he is also known as an important cultural figure because he played Cooter Davenport in The Dukes of Hazzard, and he's the author of Redneck Boy in the Promised Land. Ben, it's good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Michelle. I've never been called an important cultural figure
before. Well, you are. So culture us.
Just throw something in.
Yes, please do.
There's a northern euphemism about Cooter. Now, Cooter, let me get this straight. It's a Gullah word from West Africa. And it means a turtle. Folks down south know that, but there's this northern euphemism. I don't know if you know it or not, but it does not apply in this case. So anyhow, that's a Cooter's a turtle, and that show continues to be shown all over the world every day, all day long, beloved by millions of all races and ancestries and ethnicities and nationalities and religions. And right smack in the middle of that show is a Confederate battle flag on the most popular car in the history of entertainment.
And your thoughts right now are what?
Are that, as my friend Andy Young said the other day, obviously this means different things to different people in different contexts, and indeed it does. So I feel like, you know, suddenly because of the horrific act of evil by white supremacists, deranged white supremacists in Charleston, that that flag has become a symbol and a scapegoat for all things, you know, wrong in race in this country. And as I've heard a couple of your other guests just say, this is not the case, that it's much deeper, it's much more complex, and in my opinion, I always say this, is slavery was not the Southern sin. It was the American sin.
So
in
you
fact,
think
further back, it was the European sin.
So you think the flag should stay up, though, Mr. Jones?
Well, it depends on where and what purpose. I have known so many people, black folks that I work with in the civil rights movement, and black folks that are my neighbors and friends, who love the Dukes of Hazzard and have no problem with that. They can discriminate, as any human being can, the context between, you know, a happy display of legacy or heritage, or a fun thing in an old television show that remains popular, from a bunch of idiots running around in sheets in a pasture burning a Christian cross and being hateful. Folks can tell the difference.
So are you distinguishing between, what is it that you're really reacting to here? Are you reacting to the flag coming off the State House grounds? Are you reacting to the more broadly desire to...
I'm not reacting to anything. Yeah. I'm just telling you what I think.
What you feel.
Yeah.
So how do you feel today? Can I ask you, how do you feel? Do you feel sad? Do you feel a sense of wistfulness? Or you feel
we're barking up the wrong tree with a lot of anger and passion, and as it's obvious, anybody that has read Edward Baptist's book, The Half Has Never Been Told, or the book Complicity by the Hartford Current, understands how this is a national problem rooted in national slavery. It built Wall Street. It built capitalism in America. Yeah. The profits went north. The cotton went north. And the South was painted into a corner politically and reacted as it did in its time. But all of my folks went off to fight for the South. I then, as a young man, and I grew up in an African-American neighborhood, the only white folks over there in Sugar Hill, in a black environment, really. And when I went off to college, the Civil Rights Movement came along, and I joined up, and I went through the whole thing. I got shot at by the Klan and sucker punched and marched and went to jail, had ammonia thrown in my eyes. But we changed America, and we changed the South. It went from Jim Crow and strict segregation to become the fastest-growing economy, biracially led, in the Western Hemisphere.
So, if I could just I kind of hone in here, I think what you're saying is you agree with Walter Mosley that this shouldn't be focused on the South, that this conversation, whatever it is, should be about everybody.
I didn't hear
right
him
or wrong?
Say that, but Walter Mosley, and we've never met, is one of my heroes, and I've got all his books, and I'm happy he agrees with me. Those of us who were from a certain generation have seen these positive changes.
All right.
African Americans are returning to the South in record numbers from the Great Migration of the last century, and they are saying they come home because it is home, and because also racial relations are better in the South, and that there's a better quality of life. These are the things we need to be talking about.
All right.
I'm not going to remove the flag of my ancestors, the sons of Confederate veterans who are the legitimate descendants of those who actually fought, despise the Klan, and we despise them desecrating our symbols.
All right.
This needs to be understood.
All right.
We stand between the Klan and those who would take every flag down and who insist that it can only be defined as a symbol of hate. It is not.
All right, Mr. Jones, we certainly do appreciate your visiting with us for just these few minutes. Thank you so much for joining us. Ben Jones served two terms as a Democratic congressman from Georgia and also played Cooter Davenport, which he reminds us is a turtle in the Dukes of Hazzard. He didn't play a turtle, but Cooter is a term for a turtle. He just wanted to be sure we were clear on that in the Dukes of Hazzard. And he's the author of Redneck Boy in the Promised Land. Walter Mosley, I think you wanted to jump in there. Anything you wanted to pick up on?
Well, you know, I mean, really, I'm happy that we're having this discussion, and I'm also happy the flag is coming down. In that particular place, but I understand that this is going to be the beginning of a whole other series of problems and issues, and that a lot of people like Ben are going to be unhappy because they feel attacked and castigated, and in a way it's true. I mean, you know, America, I mean, the center of the slave trade was in the North, not the South, and you know, the North made a lot of money on it, and that's a thing. It's true that a lot of the State Departments, the capitals put up Confederate flags against the desegregation, and that's terrible. But the problem in America is a much deeper, much bigger problem about race and how we think about race, what we've made up about race. And those are the things that have to be dealt with. If this is the first step, I'm happy about that.
Kathleen
but
Parker, I'm
it's
sorry.
It's just a step.
It's just a step. Yeah, Kathleen well, Parker, thoughts yeah, thoughts right now?
Oh, gosh, I have so many I've been storing up here. First of all.
Release what you've been storing up.
Well, just a couple of comments. I totally agree that the flag's meaning depends on context. And not everyone who honors the flag is a racist, okay? Just want to clarify that. And, of course, it's slavery is the American sin, and lots of Northerners enrich themselves on the backs of slaves. So, but symbols do matter, and I think the flag on the Statehouse grounds and in the wake of what has recently happened in South Carolina, it has been the symbolism as a hate flag symbol has now trumps other meanings. And I'm with that lovely woman who talked on the House floor early this morning. Enough already. Take it down. And I'm just telling you that it feels I feel relief, and because I know that it's offensive to my half of the people who live in my state, and that's enough reason in itself. But on another level, I want to say this too. Of course, this doesn't erase the deeper problem. We know that, but people are talking an awful lot right now, and I think that's a really good thing. And the conversation that we've been talking about having nationally, I don't think I don't think it can happen nationally. I think it happens one-on-one or two-on-two. It happens in small gatherings and conversations, just like this one. There's a program at the University of Mississippi that's called the Winter Institute for Racial Reconciliation. And they have this program, the sort of template that they take into communities to help facilitate these conversations among small groups up to no more than 25. It's called the Welcome Table. And I spent some time with the director and associate director, and we began with what they usually start the conversation with, which is something like, when did you first notice that the elephant of race that was sitting in the middle of the room? And we all started telling our stories. And when people start telling stories that are personal to them like that, they open up. Sometimes they cry. Sometimes they laugh. I'm not saying we have to all get together and do the group hug, but it does help people sort of become their human selves and indeed to not see white people and black people. So that kind of thing is happening more now because of what happened in South Carolina. And I think what happened, though, with the flag itself was simply it wasn't only that incident. I think it was a cumulative effect of so many things that we've been witnessing lately with the police brutality and the shooting of unarmed African-Americans and seeing that teenage girl and in Texas being thrown to the ground by a police officer. All of those things are in our mind. You know, it's all tattooed on our brains. And then we see this, which is freighted with so much historic meaning that we just it just became too much to bear, and something really does have to be done. So these conversations are taking place, and in fact, South Carolina is going to create a similar program based on the template that the University of Mississippi has created.
Well, speaking of conversations, let's invite some of the listeners to participate in this one. Robert is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Robert, what are your thoughts on this moment?
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Yeah. This whole thing's just wild. I'm ready for it to come down just because I'm just tired of hearing about it, and it's just ridiculous, I think. But, I'm not a big history buff. I don't know all the history, but I know that flag means hate to some ignorant rednecks, but a lot of people, I do think it means something to them. And I think the thing that happened in Charleston is just god-awful. Black, white, whatever color, we are all people. I would just wish we could get along. I just wish we could get along. And I'll even go so far as to say that we had a maid growing up, and that was somebody that we loved more than our parents, probably. She was a fabulous, well-respected person and was not disrespected in any sense of the word, but somebody probably would take exception to that word.
How do you think she felt about the flag? Do you know?
No, I don't know. I was young. I was a child then. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of like a nanny sort of thing. I don't know how she felt about it. I have no idea.
Is she still alive? Can you call her and ask her?
No, I can't. I wish I could. I would love to. I'm sure she's probably passed.
Oh, right.
She was a bit older, but she was just a beautiful, beautiful person and just really influenced all of us.
You know, a lot of our folks have been talking, Robert, about where they would hope, or some of our guests have been talking about where they hope the conversation goes from here. Is there a place you would like this conversation to go from here, or do you just want people to stop talking about it?
I mean, I would love for it to make some big changes in people, but people are people, and they're gonna have their own opinions about things. You know, I get offended by some white music and some black music, but I just don't listen to it. I don't look at the flag when I ride by it on a ride past the state house. I just, you know, I don't pay any attention to it.
Okay,
you know.
But see, I think it's important to be able to put yourself
Robert,
in someone else's.
Robert, thanks so much for calling us. Go ahead, Kathleen
I'm so
Parker.
Sorry to interrupt. No, I think you have to put yourself in the other person's shoes. I mean, I've said the same thing. I never even knew the flag was on top of the dome. I didn't pay any attention. But when someone drew my attention to it, I thought, well, that's really strange. Why is it there? I think, you know, white people don't see things that aren't offensive to them. And that's, you know, if somebody else does find it offensive, it's important to sort of put yourself in their place and say, well, why would that be? And am I willing to essentially codify it in the case of the South Carolina State House presentation. So it's symbolically, you know, what we're, by taking the flag off the State House grounds, we're saying this does not represent who we are as a state. It's that simple.
Yeah. And I think,
Ron Rash?
In no other way, manners are important to Southerners. And to me, this is bad manners.
Absolutely.
Because you know, as long as that flag is flying, you're offending people who are your friends and people of this state. You know, the people that do not, you know, African Americans. And to me, and I think that's one thing that was interesting. I was listening to talk radio this morning, and I was hearing some, you know, voices of people who would, you know, would fight very hard for to keep, you know, their heritage and those things, and they will keep it. But they were saying that this flag needs to, you know, come down from state grounds. And so I think that's another way of looking at it, if in no other way. But it also gets into that incredible complexity that's the South. I mean, we're such a land of contradiction. You know, the drive-by truckers talk about the duality of the Southern thing. And I can imagine some guy that might have that flag on the back of his truck if he saw somebody else of a different race, a flat tire would fix that tire, refuse help. And that's that weird Southern kind of, I don't know, a complexity. And I think it's a part of the South. But I think on this one, this issue, I think the majority of people in the state just feel like, yeah, it's time.
Here's some comments from listeners on Facebook. We need to take a short break in just a minute. We're going to continue our conversation when we come back. I just want to read a couple of comments from listeners on Facebook. Gustavo Pena writes, is it the Confederate battle flag or the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia? In other words, it's not a flag that had much to do with the treasonous Confederacy. It's a flag that was adopted by racist Thurman supporters in 1948 to tell people they were racists. Mm-hmm. A different view from Eric Baurichter, I think I'm pronouncing right. He writes, by these arguments, we should ban the American flag as well. How about the American Indians took their land, slaughtered, raped, pillaged, and biological warfare used against them? How about the Mexicans, same as the American Indians? Japanese Americans during World War II and the internment camps, which flag were most welcomed by? Says, yes, the flag may have changed over those years. It was still the American flag. So one perspective. And Eric Dodge says, the flag of a defeated country and an enemy of the United States, put it on plaques at historical sites. No more flying it. More conversations, more calls when we come back. We're going to continue our conversation about talking about this historic moment in the state of South Carolina. I'm Michelle Martin, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at WBUR.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes.
This is On Point. I'm Michelle Martin, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking about race and history and identity as the state of South Carolina gets ready to remove the Confederate battle flag from the Capitol grounds. That could happen as early as tomorrow morning. But what's next? This is an historic moment, but where do we go from here? My guests are Kathleen Parker, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist in Washington, D.C., writer Walter Mosley is with us from New York, and poet and author Ron Rash is with us from Clemson, South Carolina. Do you all think that this is a watershed for the country? I know this is a terrible thing to ask people to predict something like this, but you're writers and you use your larger imaginations, Walter. So do you think this is part of something bigger?
It's possible. I'm so nervous because, you know, as much as I understand the issue over the flag, the flag, you know, doesn't cause all these black men getting shot down in America. They've been being shot down for the last 400 years. It doesn't really inform the insane act that happened in the church, and I'm not hearing enough that, yes, well, this is just the beginning. It's just the first step, but there's a much larger change that's necessary. When people get very emotional about one thing that happens, how this thing happened, this is really terrible. You know, next week, the week after, after a time goes by, those people who are not directly influenced by it are going to stop thinking about it. And where do we go then? And I'm just not sure. I'm not necessarily that confident. Being, you know, a black man in America, it hasn't been fixed since 1865. You know, and that was a big thing. You know, the end of that war. And you know,
interesting. You know, we got a number of people on who are reaching out to us on Facebook and Twitter who agree with you on this. Richard Edelstein says, doesn't make any difference. The hate will live regardless. Interesting comment from Elise Calvillo. She says, at one point, are we micromanaging the people? I can't have a flag, a piece of fabric. I can't have something that doesn't harm anybody else. He says, I never wanted one until you started saying I can't.
That's an important point.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kathy.
Much of the flag waving has to do as much with being in your face to those who are telling others what they should do and how they should behave as it is anything related to race. But I think the question comes, God created columnists to keep these conversations going. So, I mean, I'm going to be a public harasser to try to keep the conversation going in a productive way. But the slippery slope is a real concern for people, as that person who posted on Facebook.
And what slippery slope
suggested,
are we talking about here?
Well, now the flag, and then we're going to have to start taking down the monuments, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and where does it stop, and does it really fix anything? And by the way, in other breaking news today at 12 o'clock noon, the mayor of New Orleans, Mayor Landrieu, is going to propose taking down four Confederate statues, monuments.
Well, what about the monuments? I mean, can we talk about that for a minute? I mean, as if that's, you know, the thing that is outrageous, outlandish, and impossible to imagine 1 minute does become something that people might want to talk about. I mean, I am interested that so many people say that it's about heritage and not hate. It's not about disliking anybody. And I can understand that, because I understand that kind of the focus on hate speech produces a certain reaction that I dislike you. But what about white supremacy and the idea that, you know, as Abraham Lincoln so movingly said in the second inaugural address, the idea that I have the right to wring my bread from the sweat of other men's faces and all of that flows from that. I mean, you know, what did, you know, Vice President of the Confederacy Alexander Stephens say in the Cornerstone Address? Our new government is founded upon exactly the opposite idea. Its foundations are laid. Its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition. This, our new government, is the first in the history of the world based upon this great physical, philosophical, and moral truth. And what if that's the argument, that is the mentality that has to be addressed?
Then you have to get rid of all men who believe that women are inferior in all statues.
I'm for that.
What are you saying, Walter? Extend your thought there. What are you saying? Statues of men, because all of them, by definition, back in the day, thought that?
That when you begin the person on Facebook who's saying micromanaging, you know, that's not going to make things better. The idea is actually to change who we are, not necessarily these symbols, which, you know, would change according to how people look at them, but to change, you know, who we are. I'm much more interested in that, the statues in our minds, in our hearts. Not, you know, I mean, if you want to get rid of statues for the Confederacy, fine. I don't like them. But the point is that it's about who we are in our heart, not who we are on the street corner.
Can we go to a call now? James is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. James, what are your thoughts today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was raised here in South Carolina, and I'm many generations back, grew up here in South Carolina. The flag means something different nowadays to a majority of South Carolina people. 50 years ago, back to the Civil War, yeah, it might have meant race, you know, and all that. But it generally, it means something different nowadays.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
To me, it means a southern living. In other words, I like to live a southern way of life, which is outdoor. Most of the people that have the flag are outdoor people that like to hunt, they like to fish. You know, the free will kind of, I like to be able to enjoy the environment around me. It has nothing to do with hate.
Do you think that? But does it have to do with white supremacy and the idea that white people are just fundamentally better and more important than black people? No,
it has nothing to do with white supremacy. Nothing to a majority of people that have that flag, that wave that flag. I do not wave it. I don't care to wave it. It, you know, to me, it doesn't mean I need to wave it all the time to show it. I would if I wanted to, but I don't want to, so I don't care. Mm-hmm. When it was on the Capitol building, I can understand it coming down. It was sitting on top of the Capitol building, but it was brought down to the ground to a memorial. And I thought that was a very good compromise. But nobody, it seems like the left side and the African-American community could not accept that because they want to keep the drive going. Like I said, 40, 50 years ago, I could agree with them. But I can't agree with them today. And there was an African-American preacher on TV saying, when the KKK was supposed to come down and rally, what came out of his mouth disturbed me highly. He said, "Bloods and Crips, stay away." Are you kidding me? A preacher should have said, "Bloods and Crips, leave this state and don't come here." Because the biggest slavery problem we have in the United States is not white supremacy, because that is very minute. The biggest problem we have is gang membership and requiring and forcing these young men to be in a gang when they don't want to, and forcing them to live a lifestyle that they have to live, that gets them killed.
Okay.
But we don't bat an eye at that. But
well, I would disagree that we don't bat. I think people bat an eye at that. But I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate your perspective. Thank you, Mr. James. He's calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Let's go to Frank, who's calling from Niagara Falls, New York. Frank, what are your thoughts on this day?
Hi, Michelle. I've lived in both the North and the South. I was brought up in the North, and I'm back here now, obviously. As far as I'm concerned, the flag should come down from the State House, but if individuals want to, they can feel fine in lofting the loser logo, is basically what it amounts to. You know, I think, in my experience, racism has been more pernicious in the North than in the South. And the reason for that, I think, is because it's more hidden and euphemized in the North. Hmm. And I agree. You've got to, if you want to eliminate it, you've got to change minds and hearts. Yeah. But, you know, even things like, you know, it'd be like, say, Minnesota or Buffalo talking about their Super Bowl prowess. When both of those teams have lost every Super Bowl they've been.
Okay. Oh, that's a can of worms that we're going to open up here. Frank, your line is breaking up, so we're gonna let you go. Thanks so much for your call. I'm gonna take one more call from Valerie, who's calling from I think it's Vestal. Valerie, is that right? Sure. Vestal, New York.
Vestal, New York.
All right, Valerie. What are your thoughts?
I'm calling because I'm a northerner, northern born and raised of southern heritage. All of my extended family is from the South. My great-grandfather was a captain in the Confederate Army. And I've been raised with a very strong sense of pride in my Southern heritage, simultaneously with very strong belief that the owning of other persons is wrong. With these things combined, I feel that individual freedom of speech is something we're all guaranteed by our Constitution, but that the Confederate flag should not fly on government buildings.
Valerie, before we let you go, because I want to hear a last couple of thoughts from our guests about where they think the conversation should go from here. But you say you were taught to be proud of your Southern heritage. What does that mean? What is it exactly that you were taught to be proud of?
To be proud of. One of the other callers talked about two things that really struck a chord with me. One is how important manners are in the South. And that there's a complexity to Southern culture that is hard for Northerners to understand. So these are both deeply ingrained in me. And in fact, as a Southern Northerner, I experienced a great deal of prejudice against me among my peers. My peers would accuse me of, that I must be a racist. I must, believe in slavery and so forth. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to be proud of being Southern? Mm-hmm. It's the culture of manners. Mm-hmm. It's the complexity and unique character of the Southern culture.
Many writers, Constitution. We don't even have time to mention all the writers. At the risk of being impolite, the writers and all the art that has come from the South is certainly...
Literature, mm-hmm. cooking, and music. We do those things real well.
All fundamental. Valerie, thanks so much for speaking.
Pretty good in science, too.
Pretty good in science, too. Yes, I know, right? How about that? A lot to talk about. So in the minutes that we have left, Ron, why don't you start us off? I'm asking all of you to give us some final thoughts about where you hope this conversation will go from here.
One of my favorite poets is the Irish poet Seamus Heaney, and he talks about the idea of the double take, that there's that part of us that unfortunately wishes, is skeptical of change. Will people's hearts change? Yet at the same time, there's the part of us that has to believe otherwise, to hold those two things in our head simultaneously, which I think is, probably easier for writers because that's what we tend to do all the time. But it also, I think, in some ways, I think a subject that we don't talk about enough also in America's class. And maybe that's a subject that we can talk about as well.
That's a good idea. Good idea for a future conversation. Walter Mosley, where do you hope the conversation will go next?
Well, for me, it's really simple. The notion of race is ridiculous. It's an economic notion. In old Europe, there were no white people. Vikings didn't think that they were Greeks. Greek didn't think they were Spaniards. Spaniards didn't think they were Slavs or Czechs or whatever. In Africa, there were no such things as black people. You were a tribe. You were a culture. You were a language. You were a way of eating, a way of living. Race starts to exist in the New World because the Europeans who were, killing the natives and enslaving the Africans needed to identify themselves as separate from them. The biggest thing for me is to get the people, especially white people in America, to recognize that race is just a fallacious term. It doesn't mean anything. And people only hold on to it in order to either back who identified them, 150 years ago, or to keep a leg up on somebody else. So if I could begin a dialogue about how silly the notion of race is, I'd be happy.
All right. Kathleen Parker.
Well, I like that. I wonder if the hyphenated African American is a problem. Is that an obstacle when you self-identify as as something separate, or
I don't
think
so. I think if you say you're Irish, that would be fine. You know,
well,
like,
I don't
you know.
Ever say that unless I'm drunk.
Send your letters to Kathleen Parker, not to me.
No, I think you know. I want the conversation to go forward. Period, and I think it will because I what I think you know, and changing hearts and minds. That's the this is from the woman Susan Glisson who runs the institute in at University of Mississippi. She said, you know, the best conversations are the most local, and I think what's important to note here is that what took place in South Carolina. With the flag coming down, that was not an imposition from elsewhere. There was pressure from people's conversations to do the right thing, but essentially this was a move by the people and for the people. So when you take charge of your own heart and your own mind, as I think these lawmakers did, then you will end up doing the right thing. And those conversations, I just promise you that people will start talking more and more to each other. And the South does feel a special responsibility, I think, to get things right. So I think, you know, I think what we've seen there is really a model. You know, there were no riots. There were no, you know, there was not much Sturm und Drang. It was more a function of let's fix this. Let's recognize our humanity.
Do you have any desires for the North, though?
For the North? Oh, just to become more like the South.
Warmer. We'll see.
Manners wise. I'm well, New York City, but I love New York City.
Well, at the risk of being impolite, I'm afraid we are out of time.
Well,
the South has plenty to be proud of.
That's true.
Know,
without, at the risk of being impolite, without, Ron, time yeah. is the one thing they're not making any more of, just like land. Columnist Kathleen Parker joined us from Washington, D.C. Walter Mosley, writer and author most recently, and Sometimes I Wonder About You, joined us from New York. And Ron Rash, poet, short story writer, author of the forthcoming Above the Waterfall, joined us from Clemson, South Carolina. Thank you all so much for speaking with us. We so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Michelle Martin, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.